Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Hello, hello, hello. And I am so glad that you could join me this evening. And we have a very special guest that's going to come on today. We're going to be talking about our God is a restorer. We're going to be talking about marriage because the enemy is very, very, very busy at tearing apart marriages and families. But we know as a body of believers that God is able to restore. He's able to heal. He's able to deliver. And he's able to make all things new. So we have today with us, joining us, guest Shakiva Lewis. Can you hear me, Shakiva?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Okay. Glad you're here. For those of you all who don't know Shakiva, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Tell us where your husband and where you all's ministry is.
Yes, ma'am. I'm Shakiva Lewis. I'm 37 years old. My husband pastors River of Life Church here in Grenada, Mississippi. We have been pastoring together for the last 9 years. I have 3 children, and also professionally, I am a registered nurse.
Okay. So, Shakiva, I have a few questions that I want to ask. We only have 30 minutes of airtime, so I'm going to use our time very wisely, and I'm going to use our last few minutes of I have a list of callers that called in to join us today on the show, and I'm going to give them a chance, our last 10 minutes, to ask you questions. Okay, my first question to you, Shakiva, is how many years have you and your husband been married?
It'll actually be 14 years next week. Our anniversary is next week. So it'll be 14
Praise
years.
Praise God. Praise God. 14 years. What happened in your marriage throughout the years? Because in this interview, you're going to tell us how the enemy came in and how you all were at one point in time wasn't together or wasn't happily married. So I got a question. What happened that caused you or your spouse to want to leave each other?
Well, I would have to go back to the beginning of my story when I got saved and how I got saved and kind of start there and build upon so you can understand. But ultimately, I didn't grow up in church and got saved at the age of 17, really committed myself to the Lord about 21 years old, and was really on fire for God. So one of the main things that I knew and understood, and I was very convicted about, is the fact that God wanted me to be holy and present myself holy in the temple unto him. And so that meant for me to abstain. And early on in my walk with the Lord began to convict me about this. And I did, and then I began to pray that God would send me a husband. And so I went through a season and just believing God for a husband, and he did. I met my husband at a prayer meeting. We became friends. We actually were in this prayer team together. And knew that God had, that he was my husband, actually at a prayer meeting, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, this is the one, this is the one that I have called you to be with. And so we didn't even start dating until God spoke to my heart. And that's actually even how we started dating. And it's funny how God works, because when I told him that I felt like he was my husband, he said to me that he already knew and he was waiting on the Lord to reveal to me. And so we began to date, and we didn't date long. We dated for 8 months, and then we went into marriage. And initially, it was okay, but it wasn't until I got into marriage that I realized how many things were undone in my own heart. And ultimately, the main issues that I really struggled with in marriage initially was just really discontentment. And honestly, I knew, if I back, I knew that I was called, and my husband, he knew that he was called. And we knew that our marriage had a purpose, even when we got married. And it's something as believers and as Christians, a lot of times, real. The enemy really came to attack us. And really, God, the devil begins to plant many seeds of discontentment in my heart concerning my marriage and comparison. And like I said, I was so used to so many things that were dysfunctional because I didn't, like I said, I didn't grow up in church and I didn't understand a lot of things about how you, a husband and a wife, are supposed to be. And so I had so many things in my heart that were unsettled and undone. And what God wanted to do, because I'm sharpening eyes, I believe the Lord wanted to really allow marriage, as the scriptures say, and allow my husband to wash me with the water of the word and sanctify me. That's what he intended to happen. But in that season, instead of me continually to grow closer to the Lord, I allowed that discouragement and that discontent and those comparisons that I had in my heart to fester. And because I allowed them to fester and I did not take it to the feet of Jesus, then it opened the door. And I just want to share a scripture concerning that, because the Bible says in the first chapter, verse 13, it says, no one, and this is the English Standard Version, it says, no one going through a trial should say, I am being tempted by God. Since God is not tempted by evil, and he himself doesn't tempt anyone, but each person is tempted when they're drawn away and enticed by their own evil desires. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. So ultimately, in that season of me being tempted, instead of me beginning to take those things to God, I allow those arguments and thoughts that the Bible tells us that we should pull down to settle in my heart. And I just wanted to bring that scripture out because a lot of times we wonder what happens as if we trip over into sin in some way. It didn't start there most of the time. It started with what was going on in your heart and in your mind and in your thoughts, that you weren't bringing and surrendering and submitting to God and to the authority of Scripture. And because you didn't take it to the Lord, that the enemy had a place where he could come in and really wreak havoc. And so that's what happened. And ultimately, because I did not allow didn't get those things checked in my heart, I didn't have a lot of accountability at that time. I kind of wasn't going to church like I should. It wasn't a community and fellowship like I should, like I was initially when I was on fire for God. It led me into an adulterous affair. And so that was the thing that really brought the divide in my marriage when I committed an adultery on my husband.
And when that happened, when you decided to reconcile back with your husband, did it take him a while to kind of forgive you and maybe or were both of you all committing adultery, or was it just you?
It was just me, and ultimately, this is where it gets interesting, and when you know the hand of the Lord is really on your life for a purpose, how he works things out providentially so that he can ultimately get the glory, because I did have an affair. I did not get caught. The Spirit of the Lord was going to deal with me in such a strong way. I did not know at that same time, in that same season, because I was so detached from my husband, that God, because ultimately, like I said prior, we both knew that we were called, that there was a call, a strong call to the ministry. So God in that season had begun to deal with my husband concerning pastoring. My husband didn't know anything about what was going on as it relates to an affair, but he knew that his marriage was out of order and it was some things that were wrong. And so he began to pray and ask God to uncover and to unveil everything that was hidden and wrong and fix our marriage so that we could go on and pastor. I did not know that at the time. All I know is the Spirit of God began to deal with my heart in such a strong way. After I had cut the relationship out, I just knew that I failed the Lord for once, and I was and I got to a place where I was so broken and God was sorrowful about that. And I got to a place where I was broken. over what I had did to my husband. And so, like I said, the Spirit of God just began to deal with me and deal with me. It took a place where I got to the place where I actually came to my husband and let him know what was going on, what had happened. After that, he had a decision to make. And he ultimately decided, after counsel and much prayer, that he would stay. Now, our story is, you know, really unique in the fact that, I said, the hand of God and the Spirit of God was dealing with us, and he was directing us because, you know, some people go through these things and they cannot endure going through to the other side. And in that season, like I said, I confessed it, and my husband decided after much prayer that we would work on our marriage. And as I said, we began to do counseling and really seek God. But the most important thing in that is prayer, because the Spirit of God broke me and took away through my infidelity when I realized how I had broken God's heart and how I had hurt my husband's heart, and I had almost destroyed my family and everything that God had so graciously given me. I realized, and I was just reading in the book of Corinthians, and I've been studying through in second chapter, and it said godly sorrow leads to repentance that leads to salvation. And a lot of times when situations and consequences come, you know, we cry and we pout, but we're really not saved. And God did a work on the inside of me that only he could get the glory for, that really changed my heart and my life and my perspective, even concerning marriage. And so, ultimately, it was the hand of God in our situation. Yes, it was tough afterwards, you know, but I can truly say, and I feel like if I had to speak for my husband, I feel like his conversion was, God really called him, and he said this, to become my intercessor. And it's kind of like the book of the Bible, I think it's the prophet Hosea, that God told him to marry a harlot. And he was ultimately showing his love for his church through that Old Testament story. And God began to show my husband how, you know, he is to intercede for me, and how because of what Christ had done for him on the cross, that his sins were forgiven and that he had to forgive me. Now, I know that there are people that are listening, and every time, you know, just because you forgive does not necessarily also always mean reconciliation. In the vein of marriage, though, I feel like as believers, that it is God's ultimate will to restore marriages, because that's how he gets the glory. Because really, ultimately, as believers, we have to understand that marriage is a type of Christ in the church in the earth. And the devil hates marriage. He hates strong, successful marriages, because he knows those are the bedrock of the community. They are the bedrock of the church. That's how legacy comes to generations, is through strong, healthy marriages. And so the enemy will do everything in his power to attack the marriages. And so we realize that, and God begins to just really strengthen us and teach us and walk us both through the word and show us. Ultimately, for me, he showed me my pride. He showed me how I was so discontented. And my problem was, I went into marriage thinking that somebody should fill the voids and the emptiness that I had on the inside. And ultimately, God was the one that was supposed to fill that. And so I was looking for another human to bring me something that only God could bring me. And God began to show me that. And so I really laid charge to my husband in a lot of ways, as if there was really a deficit when there wasn't. He was being all that he knew to be. But my issue wasn't my husband's issue. My issue was my own issue. And God needed me to bring that to him and allow him to heal me and make me whole, because the Bible teaches us that one and one comes together and make one whole. He doesn't teach us that a half and a half come together, because it's not the will of another human being to fill us or satisfy us. It's only God's job to do this.
Praise God. That was awesome. That was awesome and well put. And that is so true. It's because people say all the time, 50-50 to make a marriage work. No, there's no such thing. 100-100. And a lot of times, and all the time before we get into a marriage, it's very important that we go before the Lord and that we get healed and that we get delivered first before we join ourselves to our spouse, because we can't give them all of us when we aren't whole. We're not able to do that, and that's where a lot of women fail in their marriages. So this was awesome and very, very, very encouraging. And I like some points that you made out about being yourself first, getting whole, and getting yourself right with God. And then, I mean, it's just the whole interview is just awesome. So the point that you and your husband are at this point in time, you all work together in ministry, right?
Absolutely. So, like I said, going back to being godly, sorrowful over my sin that brought me to a repentance, that brought me to the place where I confessed, and it broke me, and the Spirit of God really began to really have its way in my life and mold me and make me out to be the woman he called me to be. So me and my husband, like I said, we went through, began to go through counsel, and we decided to stay together and work it out, and then God called us to ministry. And so we started the church in 2019, and now we have been pastoring ever since. And well, my husband is our pastor, and I am his helpmate, and I am beside him 100% in the ministry. So yes, we absolutely work together, and it's all to bring God glory.
Praise God. We thank you, Jesus. I see I have plenty of callers on. I'm going to unmute your callers, and if any of you all have any questions for Shakiva, you can feel free to comment or question. Do we have any callers on the line that would like to ask Shakiva a question? You all are welcome to. Any questions? Where is there anybody on the line that heard what Shakiva said about forgiveness and about the adultery? And some of you all on this line may feel like, well, I've messed up, or my spouse has messed up, and you feel like you may be at a place to where you can't be forgiven, or they can't be, or they won't forgive you. Does anybody on this line would like to talk to Shakiva or address that issue? I know I got some people on this line that want to ask questions. Please don't be afraid to. That's what we're here for.
Well, while we're waiting, I would like to speak to that, because, you know, after that, after the Lord restored our marriage, you are left picking up the pieces of what you broke. And so that was a process. And it seemed like right when I got to the place where I was really getting over that, then the enemy came and began to just put so much guilt and shame and condemnation on me. And I think a lot of people struggle in that area. They don't understand that Jesus pays the ultimate price, and that once we do repent, the Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, and he washes us clean from all our sins and when we come and repent to him. But the enemy, he will come and tell you, you know, imagine we're pastoring the church, you know, and we're trying to lead people to Christ. So the enemy will whisper in your ears, particularly with me being a woman, because you hear these things a lot of times. Men have issues with infidelity. You don't usually hear, you know, and sometimes, and of course we're living in 2019, but ultimately that's usually something that you hear a man say. And that was something that I struggled with for a while, for a long time. And the enemy really, really condemned me and had me just walking in such a condemnation concerning my failure. And that was just the time when God really began to just show me and teach me am justified and I'm made right, not by my own works, but by Christ and him alone. That he's the one that has took the burden of my sin debt, and he nailed it on the cross. And so once I really submit and really repent for what I've done, then it truly is washed in the blood, and he takes my sins and he puts them from the east, as far as the east is to the west, and they're in the sea of forgiveness, and he remembers them no more. And so I have to begin to really walk that out and understand that condemnation is guilt and shame without hope. But conviction is the nudging of the Holy Spirit that God brings. Condemnation is not from God. And that he does that to hinder our walk with the Lord and hinder our purpose and our plan. And so it might not even be that somebody has struggled with infidelity, but whatever that thing may be that somebody might be on this call that they have struggled with, because, you know, and I want to speak to this too, because a lot of times as believers, we don't think that other believers struggle. You know, we think that we get saved and now I'm holy and everything is okay. But we don't understand that sin nature that we have to submit to God so that it won't arise back up is still there. And so we have to learn how to walk in the Spirit so that we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's a lot of times believers are in that war. And it may not be infidelity, but it's something that they don't know how to get free in areas of their life because they don't understand justification. They don't understand that Jesus already paid the price. And once we cast that thing upon him and give it to him, that it's already done. And God is really waiting on us to receive that freedom that he paid for us to have. But it is a real fact, and I think because sometimes as believers, we can get saved and get real self-righteous. And I'm not saying that God caused my faith, because he didn't. It was absolutely my own failure, and I take complete accountability for it. But God used it to really humble me and bring me to a place where I was compassionate on other people, and that I didn't think that, oh, I'm saved now, and I got it all together, and I don't do this. And so, you know, God had to deal with my heart and even self-righteousness and pride that was there, because God had to show me that he looks beyond the fault and sees the need. And every one of our needs is for Jesus Christ. No matter what you may be struggling with, your need is Jesus. And I had to begin to understand that and walk that out. And it's beautiful now because I can meet people where they are. No matter what they may be facing in their life, when they come into our ministry, and I can be able to speak to them and restore them, no matter where they are, because I understand that I am what I am only by the grace of God. If he lifts his hand one moment, where would I be?
Hallelujah. That was awesome. Well, our time is winding down, and I really, really thank you and appreciate you, Sister Shakiba, for sharing your testimony. And it really was a testimony. It was really an encouraging word to us, and that is so true. We have to make sure that and that we're not so self-righteous. And I really enjoyed this interview. And this isn't the only time. I was thinking that I only have 30 minutes on air. So I was thinking, I said, well, the next time I need to do an interview with you on Facebook Live so we can have more time so that people can get on and people can ask you questions and you can really have time to tell your testimony, to teach, because what you're saying, it can be a blessing to a lot of people and it can really help us in our marriages, and not just in our marriages, but in our life as women, you know, to deal with ourselves, deal with our own issues. And I just want to say once again that I appreciate you and I thank you. And we have 5 more minutes. Do we have anybody else on air that would like to ask Shakiba a question or make a comment? If you would like to, you can have the floor at this time.
I just wanted to say thank you for sharing your testimony. It was awesome, and it taught me something I'm actually in a marriage. I'm married, and I've only been married for 2 years, and the first 2 years has been heck. I've had a lot of problems, but I'm still sticking with it. I'm just praying for my husband and praying for our marriage, so I just want to say thank you for your testimony.
Amen. God bless you. And we'll be praying with you.
Thank you. Anyone else? No one else? I have a list of callers, a lot of callers on. Okay, if not, I thank you all for getting on and joining us for this interview with Ms. Shakiva Lewis. Shakiva, can you tell us once again where your ministry is located and the time that and days you all have your services?
Yes, ma'am. We are in Grenada, Mississippi, River of Life Church, 332 First Street, downtown Grenada. Our services are Sunday at 11 o'clock. We also have a Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We have a youth service as well as an adult Bible class at that time. And then we have Saturday morning prayer every Saturday morning at 10:30. You can follow
okay,
us
you all
Facebook.
Heard her now. Say that again, the end part on Facebook. What can we do?
I say you can also follow us on Facebook at River of Life Church.
You all hear that announcement? You can follow their ministry on River of Life Church on Facebook. And she is located in Grenada, Mississippi. And so I pray that something she said and something that we both said may help you. And if you would like to reach, if they want to reach out to you, Shakiva, do you have an email address that they can email you?
Yes, and I'm actually on Facebook. Shakiva Lewis is my page, so you can message me there. I'm on Instagram, Shakiva_15, so you can message me there. My name is spelled Shakiva Lewis, Lumas. So any of those ways, or our church page, you can also message me at that way.
Yeah, okay. So her Facebook, you can look her up on Facebook or send her a message on Messenger at Shakiva Lewis. And she said River of Life Church in Grenada, Mississippi. So I pray something we said bless you all. I thank you all for joining us. And we will have Shakiva back again, hopefully next time it'll be on Facebook Live. Thank you all once again. And once we get off, you can share the broadcast with others. Because it is recorded, so you can share it and they can listen to it at a later date. Thank you all for joining us, and you all have a blessed rest of the evening. Thank you so much, Ms. Shakiva, for sharing your testimony. And we pray the blessings of the Lord upon you, your and you and your marriage and your family. And you all be blessed.
Amen.